Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Squares of ivory fabric sewn together, embellished with bouquets, even ships to represent the port. Baltimore album quilts were the height of fashion during the mid-1800s. Today's quilts are just as elaborate, colorful, and meaningful. Mimi Dietrich of Catonsville is a member of the Quilters Hall of Fame. She's traveled the country teaching needlework and quilting classes. She's the author of 17 books on the skills and history of quilting. Tomorrow, the Maryland Historical Society will open a new exhibit, Hometown Girl, Contemporary Quilts of Mimi Dietrich, featuring her one-of-a-kind applique quilts. Mimi, welcome to On the Record.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
When did you make your first quilt?
Oh, that's easy. My first quilt was made 44 years ago, and I made it because I was having a baby. And I had two friends who were also having children, their first babies, and they started making quilts, and I thought, well, I can sew, so I can make a quilt.
So this was a crib-sized quilt.
It was. It wasn't a big one. It was just a small one.
What do you remember about it? What was the design? What were the colors?
Oh, it's going to be in the exhibit, so it's going to be right there. The colors are blue and yellow because back then you had no idea whether you were going to have a boy or a girl. And the design is two little girls and two little boys. Based on an old-fashioned design called Sunbonnet Sue. And Sunbonnet Sue is a very traditional little girl who's on many, many quilts.
You are ready, as you said. You knew how to sew.
I did, yes.
Hand sewing, machine sewing? What was
everything,
your...
Everything. I had been sewing since I was probably about 12. And I can remember my mom taking me to one of her friends' houses, and there was a box under the bed in that house, and it was full of doll clothes that this woman had made, and she gave me some. And when I came home, it was like, I want to do this. So I started by making doll clothes, not Barbie clothes.
Stitching by hand.
Yes.
Your quilting technique focuses on applique. Mm-hmm. First of all, what does that mean?
I think most listeners will think about two different kinds of quilts. One kind of quilt is a patchwork quilt where all the squares or triangles or pieces are all put together like a puzzle. An applique quilt is a quilt where you start with a larger background piece and smaller pieces are stitched to the top of that block.
So to the surface.
To the surface, right. Right.
Why is applique your forte?
Well, I think part of it is the Baltimore album quilt thing. Once I saw those, I really think it changed my whole life as far as how I felt about quilts and the kinds of quilts that I liked. And once I started making this kind of quilt, I really loved it. There's something very peaceful about sewing by hand, and that's part of it.
Where do you draw your inspiration?
Well,
I wish our listeners could see the expression as you thought that through.
I think I draw my inspiration from a lot of different places. For instance, that first quilt that I made, it was 1975, and it was right before the bicentennial of the United States. So there were quilts in magazines. Every magazine, not every magazine, but women's magazines had quilts in them. And then when I saw Baltimore album quilts, first of all, they were quilts, but the thing that really touched me was that they were made in my hometown. And I thought, well, this is what I should be doing. So we have to make one of these quilts. So,
do applique quilts, in your view, tell more of a story than pieced quilts?
Actually, they all do. Applique quilts can tell a story because you could even take a photograph of a special time in your life or a special thing in your life and trace it and then use that tracing to make the pieces for the design that you're going to use. But there are a lot of patchwork designs, pieced designs, that also tell stories because many of the old patterns had names. And I'm just thinking of one called Delectable Mountains. And it's a pattern kind of, half of it is a triangle and the other half of it is many triangles. And it looks like maybe the trees on the mountains. And so that could be used as a patchwork design that somebody might want to do because maybe because here in Maryland, they like to go out to Western Maryland rather than to the ocean.
One of your quilts is inspired by the book, The Secret Life of Bees.
Yes.
What's that pattern?
Okay, this is how it happened. There's a story to it. There's a story. I was reading the book, The Secret Life of Bees, and I got to a certain line in the book where the older woman in the story tells the younger woman something like, get up from there and be the glorious girl you are. And I saw those two words, glorious girl, and thought, ooh, that's that. I want to be that, you know? So I practiced writing those letters for the edge of the quilt. And I was just thinking about it. And then I went to a quilt shop, and hanging on the wall was this quilt design, a block. We call the little squares blocks, okay? And I looked at the block and thought, that's it. The block is a very traditional block called Honey Bee. So that went
Describe it.
The center of it is what we call a nine patch. It's nine little squares. And then in each one of the corners, there are three, they look like wings. And they kind of look like honeybees going towards, think of the squares in the middle as the flowers. And I saw that block and thought, I have to use that design. I just have to. So I did.
That's quilter extraordinaire Mimi Dietrich here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. She's a member of the Quilters Hall of Fame. This weekend, the Maryland Historical Society will kick off a year-long exhibit of Mimi's quilts. You've written about local quilting history. We talked about the Baltimore Album quilts. Can you tell us more about them?
The original quilts, or sometimes we call them the historic quilts, were made in the 1840s and the 1850s. The predominant colors in the quilts are red and green on a cream-colored background, but there are also some other colors. There's some yellows, pinks. There's a fabulous blue. It's called a fondue color that changes from light to dark blue, and it's kind of a beautiful bright blue. The quilts were made in Baltimore, and there's been a lot of research done on the quilts. One of the pieces of research that was the most fun was several years ago, they found a diary. And in this diary, it talked about people going to certain houses to, I can't remember the exact wording, but what I remember about it is, it seemed like the people who lived in these houses were putting together, we would call them kits, of fabric and patterns so that people could then go home and make their own designs. So that's one interesting thing about the Baltimore Album quilts. Another thing is that very often the quilts were made as maybe I love the word presentation, like presentation quilts. They were given to ministers. They were given to, there's a sea captain that was given a particular quilt. And we know this because there's writing on some of the quilts.
Embroidered?
Sometimes embroidered and sometimes ink, India ink.
Hmm. So who was making these quilts? Were these working women? Were these upper class women? What was the context?
Well, okay, now remember, we don't know for sure because they're not here to tell us anymore. But at one point, the Maryland Historical Society did an exhibit and they paired some of the quilts with some of the paintings that they have, and they were more upper class women and women that would probably have time to make the quilts. Maybe they were, a lot of them we really do believe were church women. I noticed as I drove here today, right around the corner is the Lovely Lane Church,
Very
Methodist
close.
Church, and they have several quilts that I think they believe they were made by members, but in the mid-1800s.
Now, you, in addition to writing so many books about quilts, you traveled to teach.
I did.
Are you still teaching locally?
I teach locally, yes. I discovered that the suitcases were a little too heavy when I got a little bit older, and it was kind of tough to take them with me everywhere. And so I just decided, you know, people that I know are retiring, and I didn't feel like retiring, so I just thought, well, I'm going to teach locally. And after thinking about it a lot, I really thought my favorite class that I have ever taught is a year-long Baltimore album class. And it's a class where for 12 months, once a month, my students get together and we make quilts that are based on some of the designs from the historic Baltimore album quilts. And many of the students at the end of 12 months have their 12 blocks and are ready to put the quilt together.
It takes 12 blocks to make a quilt?
It takes, it's nice to have 12, but I know when we get to the end and I have some students who've made maybe, I'm going to say 9 is always wonderful. That makes a very nice quilt. But even when people just have one block, it's just great to put a border on it and frame it off and quilt it and say, I try to get them to say, I have made a Baltimore album quilt.
Tell us about a few of your favorite quilts that people will be able to see in the exhibit, Hometown Girl.
In the exhibit, there are going to be at least 3 historic quilts that belong to the Maryland Historical Society. They were made in the 1850s. One of them is a baby quilt, and it's one of my favorites. Even though it's not as fancy or complicated like some of the bigger quilts, but I can remember seeing this quilt a long time ago and thinking, wow, I can make that. You know, it's possible. It's just possible. There are 2 other larger quilts that are incredible. I would call them like more than a bucket list. These are like dream quilts.
And what makes them so incredible?
They're just beautiful. They have first many, many, many pieces. There are garland, and the one particular has garlands of flowers around the edge. So each garland probably is, I'm just going to guess, maybe 50 pieces, and maybe there's, you know, 20-some garlands around the edge. And the blocks in the middle are wreaths and maybe baskets of flowers and just beautiful. And there's more colors than just the red and green. There's that beautiful blue in there. It's wonderful.
Making a quilt might seem very daunting to someone who's never done it. And as you describe these quilts you love, it sounds even more daunting. How do you break it down into manageable chunks?
Oh, okay. First of all, the quilts are usually made, it's not just one whole big quilt. There are blocks in the quilt or squares. You know, when you look at a quilt, there might be 20 or 25 squares.
And so they're about like a foot square or 12 inches, 15 inches?
12 to 8, sometimes 18 inches in the older quilts. And so if you don't think about the whole thing, just think about one block and start to make one block, before you know it, you end up with enough blocks to make a quilt. The one quilt that I have in there that is, it did take me about 10 years to make. And it's not because it's not because I started it and it took 10 years. It's because what happened was I was watching my students, and my students were choosing unusual blocks sometimes. Like, we start out with certain ones that everybody does. And then at some point, they started making blocks that I hadn't seen before, or that really appealed to me, or that just had a certain... maybe one in particular is like a wreath of strawberries that I thought was beautiful. And so I said to myself, you know, while they're making the blocks, maybe I should start making some extra blocks. And so for about 10 years, what I did was I just watched my students. I was inspired by them. And I made some of the same blocks they did. And at one point, I said to myself, wow, maybe I should get these out and see what I've got. And I laid them out on the floor, and I just needed maybe three more blocks. And then I started really finishing that quilt.
How do you feel when you hold a finished quilt in your hands?
Oh, can you tell from my voice? It's like, especially if it's a hand-quilted quilt, when it's finished, it's soft, it's wonderful, it's cozy, it's creative, it's an accomplishment, it's all of those things. It's just wonderful.
What quilts are you working on now?
Okay. Well, I knew this exhibit was happening, and I said to myself, Mimi, let's not go overboard here and do anything too big. So I have a quilt that was made in the 1950s by a friend's mom. And my friend didn't want, it's a top, a quilt top. And
meaning it hasn't been quilted to a backing yet.
Correct. It has been appliqued.
Pieced.
It's been appliqued. It was made from a kit in the 1950s. And it's been appliqued. And my friend didn't want it. And she gave it to me. I mean, sometimes this is like
gold.
It's just wonderful. You know, you never know what's going to fall in your lap because you love quilting. And it happens to several quilters like this. People say, well, I don't really want this, but would you like it? And so I took this quilt from her, and I decided that I would embroider. All embroider is like hand stitching some fancy stitches around some of the pieces in the quilt. So I thought, the whole top is almost done, but I'm having a very good time just adding some embroidery stitches to it. And it's not stressful. It's just easy to do. It's very relaxing. It's wonderful. So that's what I'm working on right now.
I really am grateful to you for talking us through it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mimi Dietrich is a master quilter and author of 17 books on quilting skills. Her quilts will be on display beginning this weekend at the Maryland Historical Society, 201 West Monument Street in Baltimore. The opening reception of the Hometown Girl exhibit is tomorrow from 2 to 5 p.m. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have a link to details about regular museum hours and special guided group tours with Mimi Dietrich. Quick break here on The Record. I'm Sheila Cass. When we're back, a stoop story from Mimi.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.